Let's read together Psalm 17. In this Psalm of David, we have the believer's greatest protection for this life and the believer's greatest prospect for the life to come. Psalm 17, beginning with verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Let's begin our study of Psalm 17 with some background notes. Notice from the title of this psalm, as well as verse 1, that Psalm 17 is designated as a prayer. Now, although many of the psalms are prayers, only 5 of them are actually referred to as prayers in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 17 is one of those psalms. In this psalm, David's prayer is for deliverance from the danger that was immediately threatening him. He was urgent in his call for help because his need was pressing. Look again at verses 9 through 13. The wicked oppress me. My deadly enemies surround me. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. So you can see that there's a threatening, dangerous situation that's confronting David as he speaks. Now, we don't know the exact occasion of this psalm, but it was probably sometime during the time that David was on the run from King Saul, and when King Saul and his army were about to capture David and his small group of men. I'm reading 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 25 through 29, which is one possible time for the occasion of this psalm. 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with verse 25. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. From 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 25 through 29. So perhaps this was the occasion of Psalm 17. We can't say for sure. In the first 3 verses of this psalm, it sounds like David is claiming righteousness before God based on his own merits. And therefore, it seems that this passage of Scripture could be claimed as a proof text for salvation by good works. Look at verse 3 once again. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. So is David claiming righteousness by his own good works here? No, not at all. Remember the historical background and occasion of this psalm. In the context, David is calling on God to vindicate him and rescue him from the forces that are surrounding him and threatening to capture him and kill him. David is not claiming that he is perfect, but he is claiming that he is blameless and innocent and just in the situation that he is facing. And the enemy is wrong and unjust and unrighteous and evil in their attempt to destroy him. Notice how David definitely refers to the opposition as wicked in verse 13. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. Now, before we move to our doctrinal or teaching points for this psalm, let's ask ourselves a few questions in light of these verses. Can we claim to be innocent and righteous in all situations where we find ourselves facing opposition? Can we say that our prayers are not from deceitful lips? Verse 1. Can we say, Lord, I'm ready for your judgment if I'm at all guilty in this situation? Verse 2. Can we say that the Lord has tested us and we've passed with honors? Verse 3. Can we say that we have purpose to guard everything that we say so that we will not transgress with our mouths? Verse 3. Do we pass these tests when we face troubling and threatening situations? Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Psalm 17. Doctrinal point number one, the eye and wings of the Lord are the greatest protection for the believer. The eye and wings of the Lord are the greatest protection for the believer. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. The apple of the eye is the pupil of the eye, which is the source of sight. The idea here in David's request to be kept as the apple of the Lord's eye is for the Lord not only to keep his eye on David, but to make David the focus of attention. What better protection is there than to be the focus of God's attention? The opposition doesn't have a chance if you are the apple of God's eye. The Jewish people are referred to as the apple of God's eye in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. And nations are warned in that prophecy not to try and plunder God's chosen people, or they will be plundered. And you know, that warning is just as good today as it was when it was given more than 2,500 years ago by the prophet Zechariah. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. The me, by the way, in the passage here, is the Messiah. At the end of verse 8 in Psalm 17, we see that David wants to be hidden in the shadow of God's wings. The idea here, again, is care and protection. As a mother bird or hen gathers her young under her wings for care and protection, so the Lord protects us. Is there any greater protection than to be under the wings of the Lord? In verses 6 and 7, we see that David is confident that the Lord will answer his prayer for protection. Verses 6 and 7, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you. As David was sure that the Lord would protect him in the midst of the surrounding opposition and danger, so we can be sure of the Lord's care and protection. The eye and wings of the Lord are the greatest protection for the believer. Doctrinal point number two, the face and likeness of the Lord are the greatest prospect for the believer. The face and likeness of the Lord are the greatest prospect for the believer. Verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Question, when David used the word awake in verse 15, was he thinking of his resurrection and his life in heaven with the Lord? Or was he thinking of waking up every morning and living in the presence of the Lord each day? I believe David is thinking primarily of the eternal future, which will be the portion of all believers. Now, if you read the commentaries, you will find that both positions are taken. I lean toward the interpretation that David is thinking primarily of his eternal destiny in heaven. In verse 14, a contrast with the wicked is given. Verse 13 and 14, "Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave the rest of their possession for their babes." So the wicked live for this life only. They are satisfied with the temporal and transitory things that God allows them to have in this life. But David is looking forward to more than the blessings of this life. He's looking forward to the ultimate satisfaction of enjoying the Lord's presence forever when he would be completely righteous. This is the great prospect for all believers. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. In our righteous resurrected bodies, we will see the Lord face to face. In the words of a wonderful old hymn, "And is it so? I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace that he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own likeness brought." The face and likeness of the Lord are the greatest prospect for the believer. What about practical application now? Let Scripture keep you from slipping. Let Scripture keep you from slipping. Verses 4 and 5, once again. "By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip." You see what David is saying here? How was David kept from the paths of the wicked? How was he able to stay in the steps of the Lord? How was he preserved from the slippery slope of wickedness and ungodliness? The answer is right here in these verses. It's by the Word of God. The Word of God is the answer to the problem of backsliding. Scripture will keep you from slipping. We read in Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." And verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. John chapter 15, verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, teach that believers are cleansed by the Word of God. Scripture is not only the means of salvation, it is the means of sanctification as well. So let me ask you, do you get a steady diet of Scripture, not just on Sunday morning, but every day? Scripture is the secret for sanctification. Let Scripture keep you from slipping.